Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I am your host, Kenny Bedwell, and I am with Paige Hayes from Hayes & Company, where we're going to be talking about the ROI from design, adding the right design decor to your property, because a lot of people nowadays need to compete and they need to add the right design to their property, but it can be expensive, right, Paige? So before I dive into it and start asking you questions, Paige, I want to let you introduce yourself. Tell us about who you are, your background, and go from there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. My name is Paige Hayes, and my company is Hayes & Company Interiors. I've been doing interior design for like 12 years now, and I'm from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. So I started out doing like very high-end, full-service, second home design in Steamboat Springs. And we would do really, really big houses kind of like out of town. And then we would also do a lot of ski condos, so vacation rentals. And I always really liked the vacation rentals. And then my family and I decided a few years ago that we wanted to travel full time. So from there, I tried and started to build a business that I could do virtually. And it kind of just grew together with short-term rentals since I really liked doing that. And then it also works out really well doing that virtually and having the experience of traveling, being a guest, and also being a host myself. So it's just really built from there and kind of taken off. And we do projects all over the country. I've been building, you know, a team of other designers, and we love what we do.
That's awesome. I'm going to hide that for now. We'll get to some of your work in a second. I do want to show you off, but we're going to show you off towards the end. So first, let's talk about ROI, design and decor. Number one, you know, easy softball, and I think we all know the answer, but we need to hear it. Is it even worth it these days? Should we even add design? Should we even upgrade or do that to properties? What are your thoughts?
I mean, absolutely. Things we know, like, things are more difficult than they were a few years ago in this environment. But in general, like, if you don't add the design component, like, it's just like you may as well not do anything, honestly. Yeah. It really
that's a good way to put it.
There are so many choices now everywhere. People have so many choices of where to stay. And it's not like we're going to book it. We just need to get away and we're just going to book whatever's available like it used to be a few years ago. Now people can be very discerning. So it's really about connecting with the people who are going to be coming to stay and making sure that you are the place that they are going to pick hands down.
Gotcha. Okay. But is there a level? Because certain markets are more competitive than others, right? So is there a level of design and decor that you teach your clients? Like, look, you don't need to go full on luxury, right? You know, it changes market to market. So how do you approach that? Obviously, you're like shaking your head like you do. So good. But how do you approach that?
There's always, and the first questions that we ask are like, who is target guest? What is the market? You know, what is your target nightly rate? And those, we try to use like a number of factors to determine what the budget should be and like what amenities to add. Obviously, you know, now we're fortunate that data can come in on some of those decisions and kind of help us based on the comps and everything. But it really does depend, like you said, on the market, because if you're not going to get the return on what you're spending, there's no point in putting in like an in-ground pool and like a putt-putt course and, you know, spending like $200,000 if you're never going to get that money back. So It's a fine line, and it's a delicate balance, for sure.
Okay. So let's talk about the fine line. Let's talk about the delicate balance, because that's really what people want to know. So Paige, how do you approach this? When you look at a property and you're trying to decide the design, the decor, even amenities too, we'll group any amenities in this one as well, take everything. What's your approach?
We start with, we call it the finding your property's story process. And so my background before design was anthropology. I majored in anthropology in college, and I've always just loved the stories of people and of places and like kind of how people connect with places. Obviously, we all have like core memories of vacations from our lives and just things that we really loved and things that were really special. And so I have always loved the story. And so that's where we start. We call it finding your property story.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. I'm just curious, before we go back, did you study a particular country or culture or anything like that?
I really liked Mesoamerican archaeology. I did, and South American as well. I did a field school in Peru, and I was on a dig in Peru in college, which was really cool. But yeah, in general, I like the Mexico and Central American region of archaeology and that history. Yeah.
How that impacted your design and the stuff that you do with it? Or yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think it's just like, in general, I've just always loved, it's hard to explain, but when you go somewhere and it's like, you know, what's happened there, or you know kind of the background of the place, to me that's very powerful, that feeling of what's happened there before, or like, you know, other people have been standing here, or like this thing happened here. So I love that. I don't know that that's something
I totally agree
connects with, but like,
I think that it can go in different degrees. Like for me, like I'm like a big geology person, you know, like I love the story of rocks and like, you know, like for example, you know, in Colorado and some of those areas where you can dig up dinosaur bones,
yeah,
and learning about that time period and like, actually the ocean used to be here. And you're like, what? You know, like this, the huge mountains and there's limestone and other sediment and stuff that was only from like oceans and things. And so like, or like marshlands and stuff. And you're like, that's crazy. So I totally understand and can relate from that level. I just like to stare and look at the geology and figure out like,
yeah, so, exactly. Anyway. Well, and that's part of our story process is determining our target guest. And so like the target guest could be like, why are they coming to the area? You know, what is interesting about that area specifically? That's the reason that people are coming. And it could be one thing, it could be multiple things. We try to figure out where they're coming from, how long they're going to be staying, what, like, you know, again, what about the area is going to be attracting them, but then also what about the property specifically would be attractive to these target guests and how we can capitalize on that in the design. And then we use all of those things to create what we call the property's story. So we tell a story and we use the story to determine the design style. We use a story to determine the actual items that we source, the materials, the color palette, and it even goes further than that into like the photography and how we tell that story through the photos to connect with the target guests and make it somewhere that they instantly are like, okay, like this is our place. This is what we want to book.
Yeah. That's really good. So when you're creating the story, you're obviously looking at the guest avatar. There could be multiple guest avatars though in a single market. So how are you determining which one that you're specifically going to target?
That's a really good question. And it can be a little bit tricky sometimes. You know, for instance, we'll find that for like a really large property, somebody will say like, well, like, okay, this is either maybe like corporate retreats or like multi-generational families. And for those two guest avatars, like the design and the story is going to be very, very different. And you're not going to like, it's not easy to kind of merge those. So you kind of need to go all in on one. And we just try to use everything at our disposal to really make it appealing to those people. And you just have to know that enough of those people are coming to the area that if you do a good job, they're going to want to book your house.
So how do you determine that though? Like, what's your way to determine like, hey, yeah, there's enough people coming to this area for that?
It's through, I mean, we use data, we look at the comps, we see what the comps are doing. And a lot of times it's, you have to kind of have some faith. And again, it's like the size of the house and the proximity to, you know, the attractions that are around. And so, you know, if you're trying to think of like a good example, but like if you're near like a national park, that is going to be like different than if you're like near like a large urban area.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, okay, that makes sense. And I think like, so you worked with, let's talk about, so you've worked with a couple of our clients, and I want to share one property you just recently did in Kentucky on the Bourbon Trail.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, I think you did an amazing job with that property. This property, kind of in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we were concerned about that. You know, is this in the right place? Like, you know, who's going to be coming here? Everything. And so I'm going to share my screen for those. Remember, everybody, if you're listening to this, you can watch this episode on YouTube and you can actually see the pictures and images we're going to go through of Paige's work here. But the podcast, we're going to describe it. Just imagine this like really cool house and all this cool design. Right. But so this is the property. So this is in Baghdad, Kentucky, Bourbon Trail. Walk me through how you came, because like I obviously saw the property, the blank slate before. It was a new construction. It was a nice, it's a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath, nice property, but it didn't have, sorry, I'm going to go through some pictures here so everybody can see like what Paige came up with.
Yeah.
Because she did a really, really, really good job with it.
Oh, thank you.
We'll try to put the link in the notes to credit Gary.
I'll disclaim too that I did the loft area and the garage game room conversion on this property. And then Gary, my clients, they did the rest. Like they kind of based the style and everything. And they did like the bedrooms and the living room and everything themselves, which, and I feel like they did an awesome job on this too. So it was kind of a collaboration, which a lot of times with virtual clients, it is. And I kind of really love that about this is that I get a lot of like kind of dedicated hosts.
Right. And here's the thing, guys, like, okay, so here's the, let's pull this one up. So you have a garage. This was a brand new garage. You can see a concrete floor here, four cars in there. It's a pretty big open space.
Huge.
And this is what you turned it into. So what, I'll go back, show some other pictures of this, but like you got the boxing and bourbon there with the bar, you know, and the bourbon and everything. And we'll get to the empty loft in a second, but how did you come up with these ideas? What did you do?
So we use the story process, of course. And obviously, so this property is on the Bourbon Trail and we certainly wanted to capitalize on that. And then what we look at is also kind of like what comps are doing and how to improve upon that, as well as like picking out little things about the area that can kind of help us be unique and be different. So like the boxing and bourbon thing, through the story process, it came up that Muhammad Ali was born nearby. So we, instead of just doing like a bourbon trail theme, we brought in some like nods to Muhammad Ali. So there are some like Muhammad Ali art and there's like a big quote up on the wall from Muhammad Ali and then like the boxing and bourbon sign. So just kind of integrating like those unique elements. And then as far as like the space planning and what amenities to add, again, it's looking at who we want to be staying there, who's going to be staying there, what they're going to want to have. And fortunately, like this garage was massive. So we fit like everything in there. There's a screening area with a huge TV and like a big sectional. There's a pool table, there's a foosball table and air hockey. I think, I can't remember if they put the air hockey in or not, but I think there's like the air hockey and there's a poker table and then a bar, we did a freestanding bar. And this came together really quickly. We did the design and they did the ordering and got to the install within like 3 weeks, I think, which was way, way faster than we're used to, but it really, it came together beautifully. So, and again, like this wasn't $150,000 budget project. Like we were very conscious about the budget and what things cost. And we did as absolute much as we could for a reasonable amount. Like we don't just go throwing money at things. There's always a threshold of, you know, that ratio of budget versus.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's do.
So the budget thing. So everybody's budget's differently. People aren't dropping $150,000, $200,000 on every property. Really shouldn't. So how do you go into a market or a property and then go like, all right, here's my budget. I got a low budget. How are you sourcing? Like, what are you doing? You know, like, are you just going to Wayfair and hitting most popular? And I'm going to share this because I think it's funny. You know, doing these things, these top common things that everyone else does. Or if you're listening to this, you got to go see the YouTube clip.
Yeah. It's so funny that you heard that. Cause like I said, and I found it in my Canva the other day. I made one of those like a year ago, but it was like, Yes, we designed it ourselves. We designed our Airbnb ourselves starter kit. And
yeah.
but yeah, funny. So I pride myself on like, and it's a silly thing to pride myself on, but I pride myself on finding the things that are different, the things that are unique, the things that people see it and they're like, whoa, like that doesn't look like anything I've seen before. And that's the way that you grab people's attention is when it doesn't look like all of the other spaces that they're scrolling through because they're scrolling through a bunch. They want to find, you know, the right place. So we do use Wayfair. We use Wayfair a lot, actually, especially for short timeline projects because it's reliable and they have like a really good range of products. And we don't just go by most popular. We use a lot of keywords. And again, we use the story and we pull a lot of keywords out of the property story and like the style concepts that we have started the project with. So that's kind of how we try to find those unique things and pull it all together. And we want it to feel like special and we want it to feel different. We want it to feel also kind of like home and comfortable, but not your home, you know?
It's definitely like a very comfortable place to get away to that looks very nice. This one, do you know what their budget was, their design budget was
for furnishing? I know what it was just for the rooms that I worked on.
Gotcha. Okay. So, I mean, really, but to me though, it doesn't seem like this, like you said, this wasn't $150,000, you know, dumping of stuff. Mm-hmm. But they did really, really well. It looks very targeted.
Mm-hmm. which is
key, right? It's what you're saying, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, cool. All right. So tell us more going back to it. So now that you understand guest avatar and, you know, working within a budget, getting creative and things, how do you determine the ROI, the actual ROI between or on this investment of design? Maybe someone's updating what they currently have and I need to do this, but I don't know how much it's going to bring me. What do you tell clients?
So I just full disclosure here. I don't do that. I find that it's a slippery slope for me. I think that it's easy to say like what the potential is, but I don't ever want to. There are so many things that go into it, like how it's managed, the photos that end up on the listing, how the listing is written, what the title of the listing is. There are so many things that go into the actual ROI and, you know, the occupancy and everything that I don't have control over, that I always hesitate to make any promises about ROI, but we do, you know, we can confidently say that if you do these things and if you target these guests and if you really do go all in, if you commit to the design, that you will do significantly better than if you did not do those things.
Yeah. And that's a very, very fair statement. I mean, in reality, that's true because, and especially markets like this, people are doing this. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of properties that are doing this. So you can't just go, well, we go look at the comps And then we go, let's say there are no comps. There are no comparable properties, you know, that's level design and decor in Baghdad, Kentucky, or, you know, wherever, Maine, or, you know, like there just isn't that level of, you know, design and decor. So it is a little bit of a risk, but that's an investment, right? And I think people need to understand that. Like, you're making an investment and there's no guarantee, but it can increase your cash flow or your ROI, essentially. It can increase your numbers and your revenue. But for you, though, in your experience, at what point are you like, look, we talked about a little bit earlier, like, this is in Orlando. You don't need to drop $200,000 in theming and crap, you know, to get this proper, or $300,000. People are crazy. But at what point do you go like, that's too much, because it just isn't, you know, is it required? Like, do you have like a way to do that? Or like, yeah, what do you tell people?
Yes. So again, a lot of it kind of depends on where our clients want to be revenue wise. And again, like, if there's support or potential support for that revenue, like in that market. So for instance, like, we're doing a property in Sedona right now. It's gorgeous. And it's a 5-bedroom, like, it's a huge 5-bedroom house with also like a flex room that we're using as like a yoga wellness room. And then it has a separate casita, like a huge pool area, and it backs up to Thunder Mountain, just like bang on, like, it's right there on Thunder Mountain. And that property, the furniture and decor budget is $150,000, and the remodel budget is $300,000. And it's going to be an absolutely exceptional property.
It's probably got to be over $1 million, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Closer to double that. And, you know, again, just looking at the comps and what the area is doing, and even property value, which is another thing that is important to take into consideration, is that if you are doing a remodel, that the improvements that you make should support the property value and not detract from it. But so there, we feel that budget very much will support the investment, and that they are going to see a return on that. Whereas if we go back to the Baghdad, Kentucky property, like, there is the potential there, but like, it's not as much of a given, right? So, or even, you know, other like smaller markets, like, we do things all over. We do things all over the place. And so we just look at what, again, we look at the comps, what they're doing. We want to be better than the comps, but we don't always have to spend $150,000. So if it's somewhere that will require less, then what we do is we always focus on doing more quality items for like the big pieces. So making sure that, like, you know, your sofa is gonna hold up and has the right materials, and your beds aren't cheap and like squeaky. And but then like the secondary pieces, like things like side tables and art pillows, like that's where we will cut back. And we have just a ton of, you know, resources. We have a lot of practice on getting those unique things for a lot less money. And so that's kind of how we balance that, to make sure that everything is quality and feels like quality, but that we can save wherever possible.
Sure. Okay. No, that's really interesting. So when it comes to someone, the process in working with, like, at what point should people actually come to you, or, you know, a service, a designer, and go, I need to do the design of this property? Is it before, after, like during, before they close? Like, when should they actually start doing this?
We suggest that when you have a property under contract, like when you're in escrow, that's when you start the conversation and go. If you're interviewing multiple designers, which you should do always, and always ask for referrals from people that you know who have worked with designers, that's absolutely what we suggest. Go start talking to them right at the beginning. We are very used to talking to people who haven't closed. So don't feel like you have to wait until everything is squared away before you start this. We can help you with potential budget. We can help you, you know, by talking about a design fee and an ideal timeline and everything like that before, you know, just when you're under contract. And then we will start working and doing the design once you get clear to close. So that's when we will, you know, get the contract signed, do our project kickoff call, and just start like going hard on the design.
Gotcha. What, I like that you mentioned, you know, good advice there on how to hire a designer. What do you tell people who are on the fence about it?
About whether to hire a designer?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like great design speaks for itself. And we have tried to build different avenues that if people feel that they don't have the budget to hire a designer, that we have other resources available. So, you know, like we also do hourly consulting and we have like courses if people want to do it themselves, but it pays for itself, honestly, like it over and above every single time. And we have the, you know, we have the numbers to show that it pays for itself. We usually like the amount that we save clients off of retail, just like by the sourcing and methods that we use, is usually more than double what they pay for our design fee. So to me, it's like a no-brainer, but I'm not very pushy. Like I don't want to try to convince people. If, you know, we just try to offer them like all the information and then let them make the decision for themselves. But yeah, it pays for itself.
All right. I'm going to say what you probably should say straight up, but you're not. So it's okay. Yeah. So yeah, I love it. It pays for itself. So design is a skill. It's something you don't just wake up one day and you're good at design. There's degree, you know, interior design is a degree that you can get in college, you know? I think it's important for people listening that you're probably not good at design. That's probably not your thing. And guess what? That's okay. Right? I can confidently say that I should have no input whatsoever on design. I really should. You know, if someone's like, Kenny, should this wall be green or turquoise? I'm like, I don't know, like whatever, you know, like both. So it's really fun for me to see clients' houses. I'm like, man, if you put someone who's skilled and knows what they're doing and you put them in this house and let them run free, like we just saw with the Kentucky one, they're going to do a great job. But I can't even fathom what they can potentially do with it. I just don't have that creativity. That's okay, because that's not my specialty. And so the more that we can get better at leveraging experts across the industry, the better the returns that will be, whether that's hiring a designer, hiring a revenue manager. I mean, these people can honestly take these things. I've seen it time and time again. Clients that are in the same market, one decides, I'm going to do pricing myself. The other, and they have no idea what they're doing. And the other one decides, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to hire someone at like $300 a month and they're going to do my pricing for me. One has $20,000 in bookings and the other one has $100,000 in bookings, because the person comes in and takes over the expert and they're invested in that. It's a no-brainer. And so Paige, I like what you said, it pays for itself, but even more like, you should be using a designer. Now, if you have a spouse or whatever who's good at that stuff, that's fine. But the reality is, like, in this day and age, we need to be relying on professionals, at least consulting with them. And I love that you offer consulting too.
I mean, the other thing too is that the amount of stress that it takes off of your plate is something that is hard to understate. Because so example, a 3-2. In general, we have over 500 line items that need to be selected. And so we include all of the stocking items for the property as well, like all of the linens, you know, the cups, the plates, the towels, the bath mats, you know, every single thing, and like the pillow inserts and the mattresses and the mattress heights. We pick those and the box springs based on the bed that's been selected and based on the nightstand height that's been selected. And so it's just all of those things. If you are doing it yourself for like the first time, or if you haven't done it before, like it's super overwhelming, because all of the choices like interrelate with each other. So it's just,
You don't even know,
right?
You don't even know everything you need. I love it when people are like, well, I can do it cheaper. Sure, you could try, but you're gonna make mistakes, and it definitely won't look as good as somebody who already know, like it's got the system in place and is able to apply that. So that for me, I look at it from a sense of like a professional expert, and I'm like, man, I'd rather them than me. I don't trust me as much as, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing, has lots of experience at least. So But well, okay. As we're kind of wrapping up here, Paige, how do people get in contact with you to learn about your services or just at least have a conversation with you, a consultation with you?
Yeah. So Instagram is probably the best way. And I'm Hayes & Company on Instagram. It's, you know, I share a lot there, and I have links for if you want to inquire about design, or you can also just like DM me if you have something else you want to talk about. I also have a Facebook group if you want to just learn more about short-term rental design and get resources there.
What's your Facebook group?
It's called the Short-Term Rental and Airbnb Furniture and Design Group.
But I'm sure someone gets to just start typing that into Facebook, and then there it'll pop up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a good community and just a ton of like, you know, free value and stuff there if you want to check it out.
Okay. Cool. I'll have to go and join that now. I don't think I'm in that group, so not that I would add any like actual value of design.
Well, you could. And well, I mean, it's all valuable. Bring the data.
Bring the data. Yeah, I love it. All right. So, wrapping up here, last question I have for you. So, I ask every guest I have. What one tip? Now, you have experience with hosting. Obviously, you've done all these properties. It could be design related or not. I don't care. One tip to help people cash flow with short-term rentals.
Make a plan? Just make a plan and know what you're going to be doing ahead of time. Don't wing it. And it just will save you a lot of time and money.
So let's elaborate on that a little bit. So make a plan with what?
Well, you could plan with your design. I mean, from my standpoint, it's in design. But even just a plan to get you from, we work on like from closing to, you know, launch. And so that's a suggestion. Make a plan for, you know, your ideal timeline. Make a plan for, you know, start with your story, start with your foundation, and then space planning, you know, max occupancy. Then you know what you need to order, and then you can put it all together, and then you can find the right things to fit that. And then you just move through. If you have a plan in place, it's so much better than just like walking into Home Goods, like, oh, like this might work. Oh, I'm going to grab this. And then, or like ordering a bunch of stuff, and then it comes and you're like, none of this fits. And then you have to make the decision of like, okay, do we send it back and delay our launch, or do we launch like with it just not looking how it should? But just making that plan and like moving through the plan is what I always suggest.
Another really good reason why having somebody you just hire to deal with all the problems, I think is key. Yeah, I love that. I mean, yeah, I used to do that with my first properties. And what ends up happening is you spend so much time, more time, you know, like ordering and then setting them. You're like, you never feel like it's quite finished.
Yes. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like never quite there. And then some people, they just wait and wait and wait, and it's months. Months go by, 3, 4, 5, 6 months go by, and they haven't even launched their listing yet because they're just waiting to have this like feeling of, I did the same thing with my freaking kitchen. So like, I'm not a contractor, and we're getting crazy quotes for our kitchen. And I was like, I'm going to GC this. I'm just going to hire subs out to save on the money, and we're just going to do this ourselves. We saved a ton of money, almost like 3 times as much money saved. But the problem though was, it's like, we're not like finished. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, we still need to tile the backsplash. We need to like paint the walls. Like, we got the cabinets. It looks good, and we've done a really good job, but we're not finished yet. And it's just dragging on. It started in freaking December and we're in July, you know, like Judas. So the value of having somebody lay out a game plan with you and go, this is how we're going to do it, is not only going to save you time, but money, big money, because you're going to launch and make that income. So great advice, Paige. Anything else you want to share with us before we wrap up here?
No, I think we covered a lot here.
We covered a lot. We did a lot. Yeah, I think we gave a lot of information. And guys, once again, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a review. I love reviews in there. And thank you for giving the reviews for those who have. But exciting news as well. Paige has graciously accepted to speak at my SCR Scale Summit in August. And so, Paige, tell us what you're talking about. I noticed we're not doing the STF, shut the, whatever the acronym was. I thought that was so funny, but tell us what you're going to be talking. Sorry, everyone listening here was an inside joke with an acronym, and I was like, we should call it this. Just anyway.
I think it was like the STFU method, right? Was that your suggestion?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be talking about the SUF method, which is the story. You know, it starts with the story, and that's the method that we use for designing properties. And it's a 5-step method. It works us through the process, and it helps us create the plan. And I'm really excited to be able to share that with everybody during the summit. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. And that's for those listening, that's August 16th and 17th. Paige is going to do a main stage keynote, and then she's doing a workshop too. And she's literally talking about the plan and laying the plan out.
Yep.
So you don't want to miss it, and it's free. Right? Why would you miss it? Right. Exactly. That's a really good point. So be sure to register. That's strscalesummit.com for those watching. Those listening, go right now. Don't get a wreck if you're listening on your car in your drive, but do it when you park on the way to work and don't procrastinate. So anyway, thank you so much, Paige, for being on the show. Really enjoyed the insight shared here. That was super helpful and made me realize on my next kitchen project, I am not going to do it myself.
Woo! Sweet. Thank you for having me. It was a good conversation. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Paige. Thanks, everybody, for listening.